which that song was in our hymn book. You may remember, I think it was around 4th of July or maybe Memorial Day last year, and Brother Jeff printed that out and we sang that. But just such a reminder there that all that we need, we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are complete in Him. Whatever we may seek that's good and righteous and wholesome and needful in our lives, we find that in the Lord Jesus, the life, the truth, the way. So appreciate that ministry and music. Man, if you'd come, we have a handout for you this evening. And so if you are able to push paper and pencil, even our young folks, if you'd like a handout, you are welcome to have one. If you'd slip your hand up if you need one, and the men will hand you one of those. Now, I had one of the moms pass along to me that having handouts with blanks is not always a good thing for the focused attention of moms with younger children, because all along the way they say, what was that one? I missed that last one. How do you spell that word? And so this lady asked if maybe we could do something to help with that. So I will try to do PowerPoints for these things. I will confess I'm always not as on top of my game as I ought be, and I am not the PowerPoint guru that I once was when I was in the military, where you live and die by PowerPoint. If you're in any sort of a staff position, that's probably true in the business world as well. But I had to kind of dust it off a little bit, and so we'll try to do that to be a help. Now then, of course, I have to battle with this thing, which you have seen me flail around with on numerous occasions. But we'll do our best to have that be a help to us. Maybe you turn in the Bible this evening to Psalm chapter 86, verses 11 and 12. Okay, so we are in a study. I've got to make sure what's up there. All right, Carlos, we'll see how this goes. No. I'm pushing up. Am I supposed to be pushing down? Ah, there we go. I was backing up into the stops. Okay, so this is session 3. Foundational principles for the study of Scripture. And we began actually in late April. It has been 4 weeks since we last engaged on this study. And I had to go back through my notes and see what have we been doing for the last 3 weeks. You know, sometimes I wonder if, you know, will people remember what suit I wore last week or something like that? I sometimes can't remember the message I preached a week ago. I have to go, what did I preach on last week? To go back and look that up. So I look back. We had a few weeks ago a group of young people from the Academy and Ensemble. Brother Wampler and I went down to Great Grace Baptist Church of Lockport. And so Pastor Estep preached that evening. And then we had the Foundation Brass here on the 15th. And last week, our 90th anniversary testimony time. So we have been away from this study for a little bit. So I want to begin by very briefly highlighting our first couple of sessions. We started out just introduced kind of as a theme verse for this study, Psalm 86, verses 11 and 12. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. As we went through that verse, we just talked about the reality of this kind of process of things. As we hear God's Word, then we ought endeavor to understand it, to understand it the way God intends it. And then kind of the next step in this process of the reception of God's Word is to obey it and then to embrace it. And you may remember I said sometimes people will defer obeying until they just really have some sort of a feeling that this is something that they're convicted about and something that they ought to do. And we said the reality is that as we obey, God brings that conviction, that stirring, that embracing of His truth. Sometimes obedience involves just simply obeying. Feel like it or not, want to or not, God says it, I understand what He says, I need to obey. And you know, as we do that, those truths come to just really crystallize in our hearts and in our lives, and we embrace them, and they stir us, and they really just become foundational in our lives. But really, that obedience step is a critical one. Oftentimes people put off that obedience and then they wonder why they kind of stagnate there, and then they talk themselves out of their understanding of that particular principle or command or whatever it may be, and there is not this process of growth through God's Word. So we hear, we understand, we obey, we embrace, we rejoice, just thankful for the opportunity to live in light of God's Word, and in so doing we glorify God. So that's what we spent a good bit of time in our first session. We talked a little bit about the authority of God's Word, just foundational principles of inspiration, of inerrancy, of infallibility, of sufficiency, those kind of principles, and just our need to respond to the authoritative Word of God. Then in our second session, we looked first at three purposes for this study. And what we're trying to accomplish here through these dozen or so sessions is to investigate the essential principles of Bible interpretation necessary to equip us to discover the divinely intended meaning of any given passage in the Word of God. So in Psalm 86:11, it says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord." We want to understand what God intends for His Word to mean. And really, starting in our next session, we'll kind of get into some of the nuts and bolts of principles of interpretation. Another purpose is to instill in us a more fervent desire to know and understand God's Word properly. Then we'll know God better. So that first purpose has to do with understanding properly in our minds. Here, moving that to our hearts. The benefit of the study of God's Word is first and foremost coming to a better knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And the third principle, a practical one, to enable us to do the will of God in our lives, so that we can be unashamed workmen when we stand before Him. We talked about that as the urgency, if you will, of Bible study. 2 Timothy 2:15, a familiar passage to us. Study, or literally, be diligent to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we noted that the primary point of that passage is to encourage us to make every effort to present ourselves approved before God, to be unashamed workmen who have given ourselves to properly understanding and obeying the Word of truth. And we kind of concluded that session noting that it is essential, folks, for you to know the Word of God. It matters for you. It matters to God. And Pastor Estep tonight, you know, talked about these different ranks. And that's just centered around just basic principles of spiritual growth. Things that are ought to be part of all of our Christian lives, just as a matter of routine, a matter of daily routine. And as he mentioned, the accountability there and the doing of it doesn't make us spiritual, but absent that, it's like going through life without eating. Sooner or later, there's going to be spiritual starvation if we're not feeding on the Word of God, if we're not obeying the Word of God, if we're not embracing the Word of God, if we're not rejoicing in the Word of God, if we're not allowing our lives to be changed by God's Word as His Spirit ministers those truths in our hearts and lives. So really, my big purpose in this study is to just remind us again, and that's why our first two sessions were largely motivational. Tonight will be a little bit more just some practical ideas, kind of some foundational principles about how we approach the study of Scripture in our own personal Bible study and Bible reading time. But it's just really to keep encouraging us to be faithful, to recognize the immense importance of spending time with God in His Word and doing so in a meaningful way, in a way that has an impact upon our lives, in a way that allows the Holy Spirit of God to use the Holy Word of God to make us a holy people, people after God's own heart. Okay, so what we're going to do is just walk through. There are 11 ideas here, nothing that you haven't heard before, but just maybe some reminders, some things to kind of prompt you to consider as you read God's Word each day, as you study God's Word. Are these things true in your approach to the Bible, in your devotional time? Okay, so we're going to look at these foundational principles. The first one is study the Word. There are devotional helps out there. There are commentaries. There's all kinds of interesting things to read that are of a biblical orientation and that give us helpful ideas. But the fact of the matter is, what we need is to study the Word of God. And those other things need to be supporting helps, not in lieu of studying the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, passage we're familiar with, says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." It doesn't say your devotional guide is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the Word of God that is quick and powerful. And that's the one that's supernaturally enabled to make a difference in our lives. Now, we can get other helpful ideas. The opinions of man are not quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The commentary that I would make about the Word of God, that's not quick and powerful and sharper. It can be helpful. I hope it's helpful. You know, helping us to better understand God's Word. And there are devotional guides that can help us kind of be on a track to run on, so to speak, and turn our attention to certain things. Those are helpful. We need to remember our priority needs to be on the Word of God. That's what's quick. That's what's powerful. That's what changes our lives. Let me have you turn to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. If ever there was a theological mind, it was the Apostle Paul. If ever there was a guy who just had amazing insight and understanding. And obviously he wrote things by inspiration of God, so you know, even more so, but in his own right. He was a man who knew the Word of God. He was a man who was incisive in his thinking, able to analyze things, able to understand things. But here's what he says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And Paul was quick to emphasize, you know, it's not that I have cunningly crafted arguments. It's not that I have a way of explaining things that will open your eyes or that will change your thinking. But he says, you know, we delivered to you the Word of God. You received it as such. It's the thing that opens your eyes. It's the thing that affects you, changes your life as God's Holy Spirit ministers His Word in your life. So we need to study the Word. Secondly, we need to study daily. Acts 17:11, again a passage we're familiar with. We'll turn there in a few minutes later on. But it says, of the Bereans, that they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. We need to be disciplined. We need to be consistent. There needs to be, we talk about devotions, being devoted to spending time with God each and every day. Let me have you turn to Job 23 and verse 12. Job 23:12. You know, folks, I don't know about you, but most of us eat every day. Okay? Now, you may occasionally take a time of fasting. You may occasionally have life moving so helter-skelter around you that you miss a meal or two or maybe even a day. But I would think that most of us eat pretty much every day. And it shows on some of us, right, that we eat pretty much every day, maybe a little too much each and every day. But, you know, we make sure that we nourish our bodies. How much more do we need to nourish our souls? And I said, there's nothing here that you don't already know. But let me just remind us that it is important for us to put a premium on the daily reading, the daily study, the daily meditation, the daily growing in our understanding of God's Word. Job 23:12. Job says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Now you might say, well, I'll take Sundays off because I come to church and, you know, and I get preached to. You know, and I'd say, well, that's kind of like, do you watch somebody eat on Sundays but don't partake of yourself? You know, I mean, just kind of take it in by. There is something important about our own engaging with the Word of God. We have classes. We have preaching. And those things are biblical and right and necessary. Those are things that God has instituted to help us in our growth. But ultimately, if our growth resides in one service a week, two services a week, three services a week plus Sunday school, maybe RU, I mean, you may be very, very faithful in those things, but that doesn't replace, that doesn't stand in the stead of personally going to God's Word regularly, faithfully. And we just need to ask God to help us structure our lives so that we do that each day in some manner of consistency, in some disciplined way. Third, we need to study God's Word objectively. We need to be honest with the Scriptures. We need to let the Bible speak for itself. Not trying to make the Scripture say what we want it to say. Not imposing things on the text of Scripture that aren't there. Not twisting, not resting it, not ignoring it, not explaining it away. And you know, folks, we all have a propensity to do that. We have a propensity to just kind of move past those truths in God's Word that maybe don't exactly align with the way that we are living our lives. And if we allow ourselves to, you know, you can rationalize and explain just about anything that you want to. If you're not purposed to let the Word of God speak. The Bible says, you know, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and it does. Well, that's what it says. You can explain and rationalize and come up with a way around that, but that is what it says. It says we're to call the Lord's Day of Delight. That's what it says. If the Scripture speaks of not setting our affections on the things of this world, if the Scripture speaks about sacrificial giving, if the Bible says don't love the world, if the Bible says go and give the gospel, I mean, it says those things. And we need to just take them objectively. You know, subjective is kind of, well, what does that mean to me? Objective means this is what it says. This is what it means for me and for you and for each one of you. It's there. And we need to recognize that the Bible is filled with objective truth. Yes, there are subjective realities on certain things. There are interpretational difficulties. But the Bible is just filled with clear, unequivocal, objective truth that any one of us would have to say, well, that is what it says. You know, sometimes I find critical commentaries. That's a word for commentaries written by sometimes people who are even unbelievers. And sometimes their commentaries will be more helpful on difficult passages, sensitive passages, because there will be believing people and they will allow their own, they want to be obedient on whole. So they find something that makes them uncomfortable, that does not fit with their church or their understanding of the Scripture. And so they kind of try to make it say something different. Now the liberal oftentimes will just say, this is what it says. I don't believe it, I don't do it, but that is what it says. That's what the Hebrew means. That's what the Greek means. And they'll be honest about it. And then they'll be honest about saying, but you know, we just kind of write that off. And so we need to be people who take the objective truths of God's Word and submit to it. And obey it. Whether we like it or not, whether it's easy or not, whether it fits with our system or not, we need to mold our lives to the Word of God, not try to mold the Word of God to how we want to live our lives. So we need to study the Word of God objectively. We need to study the Word of God logically. We need to use common sense. We need to think about what God is saying. We need to take the propositional statements of Scripture at face value. Allow context to guide your understanding. You know, some people approach the Scripture kind of throwing away all the rules of common everyday language that they use when they carry on a conversation with somebody else. And they say, well, this is mystical. This is spiritual. It doesn't really mean exactly what it says. You know, we kind of got to look for something that's deeper, that's hidden, that's not really there. God's the creator of language. We're going to spend a good bit of time talking about why the right way to approach the Scripture is to take it in its normal, literal sense, in its normal context, understanding the historical background. We'll talk about those things and how we approach God and why. Why that is so essential. Brother Joe has been in a class I teach and we spend several hours and they're all going to get it, okay? I'll tone down some of the words that are there just to make it hard for you guys to remember. And, you know, I'm just talking more plain language. So we'll disguise it not so much as a college course, but though there are some essential principles about why we take a literal approach to the Scripture. And it's important for us to embrace those things and allow that to help us as we go to the Word of God and not have a subjective approach. So we need to be logical. We need to just pay regard to the rules of language, if you will, and allow the Scripture to say what it says. So a lot of our study here will center on that point there, point number four. Then we need to study carefully, okay, thoughtfully, sometimes detailed study. You know, not just reading to read. Let me have you turn to that passage I mentioned earlier, Acts 17:11. Acts 17:11. And while you're doing that, put your finger there and also turn to Acts 28:18. So we're going to compare these two texts. So Acts 17:11 and Acts 28:18. I think, yeah, those references, except I left off the end of the parentheses on your handout, okay? Acts 17:11 says, these, speaking of the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, And they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. And so the word for search there is the idea of to interrogate or to cross-examine. And the reason I have you turning also to Acts 28:18 is because we see that same word there. Paul is describing his appearance before the Roman officials. In Acts 28:18, he says, "Who, when they had examined me," the same word. In other words, they had interrogated me. They asked me questions. They would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But the idea there of searching, of examining, we'll talk about asking questions of the text. What does this mean? Why did he say that? How should I understand this? And going to God's Word and not just kind of running our eyes over the page and just kind of coming away with a general gist. But reading the words, thinking about the sentences there, digging into the meaning of it, studying God's Word carefully and thoughtfully. You know, it talks about there being interrogated or cross-examined, you know, checking cross-references. I'm not saying that that's what that text says, but the idea comes to mind of comparing Scripture with Scripture there. So we need to be thoughtful in our study of God's Word. We need to study doctrinally, confirmationally, if you will. And study what you believe. Know what you believe and why. If there are things that you have been taught, and if someone were to come up to you and say, "Why do you do that? Why do you believe that? Why do you hold that particular position or interpretation?" And your answer is, "I don't know, but that's what I've been taught," or "that's what I've always done," or "that's what we do," then you know what a goad that ought be to us to study the Word of God and to study our doctrine, our teaching, to know what we believe, to know why we believe it, to know what is right, to have a Bible answer for everything that we do, for everything that we say we believe. Titus 1:9 says, "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." Now, sometimes we are a little bit uneasy maybe about reaching out to somebody with the gospel because we feel like, well, I'm not sure how to answer their questions. And let me answer that concern a couple of different ways. One is, if you've got a testimony of salvation, you've got enough to witness to somebody. You just go out and tell them, "This is what Jesus did for me, and he wants to do it for you." And if they ask you a question you can't answer, it's okay to say, "You know, that's a good question. Let me go study that, and I'll come back to you." And now you've got another chance to come and give them the gospel again. Okay, so we don't need to be deterred by a fear of, you know, I may not have all the answers. None of us do. May not be very eloquent. Doesn't matter. If you can say what Jesus has done for you, you ought to be out there witnessing to people. Which means if you're a believer, you ought to be out there witnessing to people. That's all we need. Now, the other side to that answer is, the answer to being prepared to give an answer of the hope that is in you is to study the Word of God. To take questions like that and say, I want to be able to give a good answer. I want not to argue them into salvation. It doesn't work that way, right? But I want to be able to give a reasoned, thoughtful, doctrinally sound answer from the Bible why this, or how come this isn't true, or why is this not the case? And, you know, beginning first and foremost with those doctrines of salvation, so we can share those truths with others and be effective. So there's a sense in which we want to equip ourselves. There's another sense in if we wait until we're equipped, we'll never be there. Let's just get out and be faithful, and God will take the words that we know. He'll bring things to our remembrance so that we can share them with others. So we need to study doctrinally. If you go through the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, you'll find the word doctrine in there at least 16 times. I think Brother Chuck, starting next week, is going to be teaching a study on 1 Timothy, is it? And he'll be over here in the annex, by the way. So those of you in his class, just come in the back. Okay, there's free advertisement for Chuck's class, all right? Over here in the annex, be another class here. We tried to keep folks from having to make the long walk. But as Chuck goes through that book, he'll find that word about doctrine, the importance of sound doctrine, the importance of sound teaching, of the principles, of the practical realities of God's Word. And we need to study with those things in view. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." So we need to ask those questions. Make sure we understand from the Bible why we believe what we believe, why we do what we do. Number 7, study Christologically. See Christ as the central figure in all the Bible. Let me give you a turn to Luke 24:27. This is where Jesus is walking on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples, Cleopas and another that we don't have the name of. They're sharing with Him about the concern that they have. They don't recognize Him as Jesus, and He's resurrected now. And they thought He was the one who was to be the Messiah, and then they were concerned because He was crucified. And then He says, and then there's this even more unsettling thing. Some of Jesus' followers have come back and said that He's not in the tomb. And we don't know what to make of that. In Luke 24:27, it says that Jesus taught them. And it says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He, Jesus, expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. John 5:39 says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. Now, when Luke wrote that, when John wrote that, when they talked about the Scriptures, they were talking about, frankly, the Old Testament, right? That was their recorded Scriptures. And so, right there, we know that beginning in Moses, back in the Law, in those first five books of the Old Testament, from there through the end of the book, and obviously just amplified then for us in the New Testament, are things that testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read God's Word, now we want to be careful not to over-find things that aren't there. And we don't want to read the New Testament back into the Old Testament. And there are perilous things that come when you do that. And we'll talk about those in due course. But the fact is, we need to recognize that the central person, the central figure in the Bible, even the Old Testament, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament testifies, prophesies of His coming. And so as we read the Word of God, we ought to recognize the centrality of Christ in all that we read and allow that to minister to our souls, because our desire is to know Him and to be like Him and find all that the Bible says of Him. So we need to study Christologically. We need to study dependently, recognizing that we need God's illumination. I gave you on your handout there one man's definition of illumination: the work of the Holy Spirit giving understanding when the Scripture is heard or read. Let me have you turn to several passages here in Psalm 119. Now, we did 22 sessions through Psalm 119, so these are passages we'll be familiar with. But let's turn first to Psalm 119, verse 18, and we'll just look at three examples. From the 119th Psalm, of course, as you know, one that focuses especially on the Word of God, the Old Testament. Psalm 119:18. The psalmist there, be he David or Daniel, says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Verse 73 of Psalm 119. Verse 73, he says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. A little farther along in verse 125, he says, I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. You know, folks, we will find throughout the Scripture these appeals from godly men. Open my eyes. Give me understanding. Help me to understand. We will not ultimately understand God's Word properly except by the illumination of God's Holy Spirit. Let me give you turn one more place on this point. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. You know, folks, apart from the Spirit of God, biblical truth cannot be fully understood and embraced. I mean, the objective nature of it, we can see that there. But we won't fully see how things fit together. And it certainly won't move from our head to our heart apart from the illuminating power of God's Holy Spirit. And we need to ask Him to do that. We need to prepare our hearts as we go to God's Word and ask our great teacher, the Holy Spirit of God, to open our eyes, to give us understanding, to illumine His Word. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 says, now we've received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual words. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You know, the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it cannot be more plainly stated. It is objective truth, repeated for us again and again, given to us clearly in the Bible. But the fact is, to really believe that takes the illumination of the Spirit of God, the opening of our eyes, the softening of our hearts, so that we would look at that and say, yes, I know that so, I know it in my soul. The objective truth is there. But to bring it to our hearts takes the work of God's Holy Spirit. And we need to seek His help, His aid, as we study God's Word. And hand in hand with that, we need to study receptively, study submissively, if you will. Like I mentioned earlier, we need to adjust ourselves to the Scripture, not adjust the Scripture to us. James 1:21 talks about receiving with meekness inspired Word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we read earlier, you received the Word of God, which you heard of us. You received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. We need to study, folks, God's Word with eagerness, with an expectation that God will use His Word in our lives. And we need to believe in the authority, the power of the Word of God, so that the only reasonable response is one of humble submission and a receptivity to God's Word. Let me have you turn to Hebrews 4:2. We got you moving around a lot tonight. Usually we just kind of camp, right? Mark chapter 3, whatever, but tonight we'll move around a little bit in the Bible. Hebrews 4:2, the writer of Hebrews says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But there's got to be a willingness, a receptivity there, where we go to God's Word saying, Lord, just lay me bare. Show me. Do what you want to do in my life as your Spirit ministers your Word. Just that willingness, that eagerness to be receiving of God's Word submissively. Number 10, need to study applicationally. This really relates to the matter of obedience. Let me define the application in this context this way. The process by which Scripture is lived by the saints, by believers. We want to live out the Word of God, make it become a reality in our lives. We need to ask God to show us what He intends for us to do with what we study. An evangelist friend of mine named Kent Prain many, many years ago, remember him making this statement. He's probably made it many times, but it stuck with me, and it's been probably 20 years. And he said, you know, it's not what you know. It's what you do with what you know. You know, you can know. There are people who have given their life to knowing the content of the Word of God, and yet they are Christ deniers. Yet they are who? They are deniers of the truth of God's Word. They know it all, but it's not what you know. It's what you do with what you know. The Pharisees had memorized way more Scripture than me, probably way more Scripture than any of you. They knew it, but it's not what you know, it's what you do with what you know. It's, do you obey? Do you submit to it? Do you live out those things that God says in His Word? We need to study God's Word applicationally. We need to be, as James 1:22 says, doers of the Word and not hearers only. Lastly, we need to study devotionally. That's meditating, memorizing. Not just as we read, right? But long after we read. If you turn to Psalm 1, familiar passage. I think we'll just look at one more passage after this one. So if your Turner is getting worn out, we're almost done. All right, Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, that's all the time. Whenever possible. As much as possible. A habit of the soul. Verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So here's the picture. Right? That tree planted along the riverbank, and the roots sink down there, and the nourishment and the refreshment from that water is drawn through those roots. It's not just pouring on a bucket, right? They're being drawn through, and they're moving through that tree. And they're creating that life-giving sap, and that produces the foliage and gives health and growth to that tree. But it's not just the administration of the water, but it's as that water moves through that tree and touches every part of it. And folks, we can't just read God's Word and then walk away from it and leave it behind. We need to be hiding it in our hearts. We need to be thinking about it. We need to be meditating on it, thinking throughout the day about those truths. Kidner says this, whatever really shapes a man's thinking shapes his life. Right? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The things that we give ourselves to thinking about, just maybe in those idle moments when you're driving in the car, when you're stopped at a stoplight, I suppose you should be also thinking a little bit about the traffic around you so you don't, you know, drive off into a culvert or something. But, you know, we have so much of our day. You're standing in line somewhere. There's idle time and our minds are going to go somewhere. They're going to do something. They're going to think about something. And we ought purpose and ask God to just bring to our remembrance truths of His Word and meditate on those things. And that's why it's good for us as we read the Word of God each day. That as we conclude that time, maybe we just have something where we've either memorized a verse, maybe not fully word perfect, but something that we kind of plant in our minds. And purpose, you know, as the day goes on, let me think about that. Maybe there's a particular idea that God pricks your heart about as you're reading His Word. And, you know, I'm gonna kind of mull that one over a little bit over the course of the day. I'm going to ask God to bring that to my remembrance as things happen in my life, where that's needed in my life. That's the kind of thing we need to be doing if we are really going to allow God's Word to change us. We need to do so devotedly, devotionally, with a desire to see God's Word lived out in our lives. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouths. You know, and they did not have copies they were carrying around with them, right? Okay? But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Okay, so there's application and obedience. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, folks, spiritual profit from God's Word comes about when we meditate and obey. I said I'd have you turn to one more passage. That'll be 1 Timothy 4:15. 1 Timothy 4:15. Here's a charge that the Apostle Paul gives to this young preacher, Timothy. He says in verse 15 of 1 Timothy 4, meditate upon these things. Okay? Think on them. Turn them over in your mind. Give thyself holy to them. And if you were to translate that literally, it would be in them. Sometimes people will say things like, I'm into basketball. I'm into scrapbooking. God tells us there, well, be into the things of the Word of God. Meditate on those things that thy profiting may appear to all. See, Paul says there, Timothy, it's not just enough to know God's Word. You need to be meditating on it. You need to be thinking about it. You need to be into that. You need to give yourself to it, and as you do, you'll grow. And that growth will be apparent. It will appear to all. Folks, if you keep your mind dwelling on the Word of God, it will bring spiritual profit. If you sit down and say, well, I dutifully need to do my devotions today, so I am going to read whatever reading plan you're on as rapidly as I can. And when I get done reading, I probably won't have a clue what I just read. But I did, you know, process the information from page to eyes to brain and then kind of discarded it. But I did it. You know, and we do that sometimes out of duty. And maybe you say, well, I need to dutifully jot down a couple of prayer requests. Okay, I need to dutifully pray. That's not studying God's Word. That's not communing with God. And we need to allow those things really to engage our souls. We need to bring them into our lives so that they dwell there, so that we think about those things. I think I've said to you before, I remember one man saying that if somebody comes and asks you for advice, if you're not quoting the King James Bible, you're probably giving the man's wisdom. Now, you know, I don't take that in a strict literal sense, but his point is, good advice is rooted in the principles of God's Word. And if those aren't the things that are coming into your mind, if it's just human reason, then it's probably not good advice. And we just really need to engage every aspect of our lives on that foundation of God's Word running through our minds and sanctifying us and guiding us and giving us wisdom. So those are some thoughts that I trust will be helpful to us as we consider our approach to the study of Scripture. And let me ask the men to come. I've got one more handout for you. I didn't give it to you earlier because I didn't want you to be double-minded. Okay? I didn't want you trying to follow the notes and read this other handout at the same time. And this is just something that's on a half sheet of paper, something for you to maybe insert in your Bible. But this is adapted from something written by a fellow named Thomas Watson. Watson is a Puritan. This was originally written in 1669. It comes from a book entitled Heaven Taken by Storm. And he has a little section that he entitles How We May Read the Scripture with Most Spiritual Profit. And he just kind of did akin to what I did tonight, was just kind of thought through some ideas based on principles of God's Word that would be a help, a challenge as we study and read God's Word. And so he's got 22 items on his list. And one thing that we did in our family some years ago is, as a matter of family devotions, we just kind of went through these things one at a time. Just took one item a night and talked about it a little bit. You know, for example, the first one is, prepare your heart before you read. Now Watson's explanation is lengthier than this, but a snippet of it is, the heart is an instrument which needs to be put in tune. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord, 1 Samuel 7:3. Summon your thoughts together and purge out those unclean affections which indispose you to reading. The Puritans always use language that might be a little complicated for your five-year-old. You'll have to tailor that accordingly. But, you know, these are helpful things to just talk among yourselves and say, so if I want to prepare my heart before I read, you know, how do we do that? Encourage one another. And you have that time alone, setting aside the distractions. Now, I sit and read, and one of my perils is the chair that I read in, oftentimes the paper. I only get the Sunday paper. It takes me a week to read it. And it's sitting there, and you know, that'll catch my eye, and I'll stop and read that. You know, distraction. Just what can we do to protect our time with the Lord? You know, what can we do to prepare our hearts? Obviously, the matter of prayer, the matter of asking God to open our... But those are the kinds of things that you might talk about. So I just encourage you to read through these. Let me comment on number 5, read the books of the Bible in order. That's his opinion. I think that's a wise thing to do some of the time. Sometimes people may read chronologically. Sometimes they might read a particular book repeatedly. I mean, there are different ways, and variety is a good thing, but there is wisdom to always being mindful of the progressive nature of revelation and recognizing that things are given to us in order for a reason. So, but you know, you can talk about some of those things and just allow that to kind of stir your thinking, and allow that to shape how you approach the Bible. Because folks, my goal for us is that we don't study the Word of God out of duty. We don't study the Word of God to check a box. We don't study the Word of God because it's expected, because we'll get an award, because someone is watching. We ought to study the Word of God because we recognize it is essential to our walk with the Lord. It's the only way, really, that we will come to fully know and understand our Savior. It's the thing that God's Spirit will use to transform, to change our lives. You know, if we will be a people who will carefully, and faithfully, and devotionally, and in all these different, be students of the Word of God, we will all be transformed. And this church will be transformed. You know, now, we're at various stages and various degrees and various levels of success at that, but I'm guessing this is an area in which we all could stand some growth. Some may be pretty radically so. Some may be lesser so. But there is a need for us folks to have a passion about spending time with God in His Word. And young person, if you can read, then you can read the Bible. And you may not be able to read it fast. You may have to ask for some help on some of the words, but you can read God's Word, and God will illumine your heart and open your eyes so that you can understand it. And surely, teenagers and young adults, let's not let all of the distractions, and all of us, as older folks too, let the distractions of life on this sin-cursed earth keep us from the Word of God. Let me ask you to stand to your feet if you would.